Our Bible reading this week is in 1 Peter chapter 3, so why don't you grab your Bible and turn over there, 1 Peter 3. We've been referencing 1 Peter 3 a little bit, even on the Lord's Day, so this is territory with which we're going to be familiar. You chose the reading, thinking about good works.
Yeah.
So where are you headed with 1 Peter 3?
Well, especially the larger context of 1 Peter, Peter is very much talking about suffering for righteousness' sake and the glory that comes in eternity for suffering for righteousness' sake in this life. And so our big picture is doing good works even when it's hard or even when others persecute you for them, especially in chapter 3, you know, David, the second half of that chapter in particular is talking about this principle of doing good works. Works no matter what. Verse 9, do not repay evil for evil, reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. And even in the larger context, you know, the familiar verse 15, right? Always be ready to give an offense. Mm-hmm. That sits in the context of why you have to do this, because others, you're doing good as a Christian and others are persecuting you for it, perhaps even governments in the context of the first century. And so ultimately, it's the example of Jesus, you know, starting in, verse 17, it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than doing for evil. For, verse 18, and here's Peter's example, Christ does good to the human race, even in his unjust suffering and death. He does us good. Wasn't fair, wasn't just, it was God's will. He was committed to doing good works despite the consequences in this life by a world that does not understand.
So I actually think that goes back and touches something that we have talked about before in the podcast, and that is the idea that I don't do good towards someone. I'm not practicing good works towards someone simply because I think they deserve it or because they've done something for me. That would take us back to Matthew 5.
And right.
I think we worked there already.
Yes.
About the idea, if you love those who love you.
That's just the world.
Everybody does that.
Right.
The God-like thing is to love those who don't love you.
Right.
And Christ is the example
of
even while we were yet sinners, Paul would say, Christ died for us.
Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do.
But as you like to say, 1 Peter 3, I think, starts messing with our lives.
Big time.
In pretty dramatic ways, because this is a glorious idea. Hey, be good to people. Do good works for people, even if they don't do good toward you. But then in 1 Peter 3, he starts saying, yeah, let me give you an example of that.
Right.
And so he would speak to wives specifically in verse number 1. You might remember us talking about this in text talk last night. I don't think we ought to limit it to wives, though that's who he speaks to here. The principle is for all disciples that you return good for evil. You do good even to those who mistreat you and don't deserve it, whatever. But in this case, he's talking about married people.
Yeah.
And so in verse 1, he describes a married woman who has a husband who isn't good to her.
Right.
Or a married man who has a wife who is not good toward him. What's our obligation?
To do good to them anyways.
Oh.
And by the way, you know, you're right. It's not just limited to married people. Peter uses that example because that's life is hard, and that's a common example in real life. But you go back to chapter 2, he reminds Christians, even if your government, for instance, is against you, this same principle applies. You do good. You do what's right regardless. So it's not just hitting marriage, though it is hitting there. It's hitting all spheres of our life, David.
But you know what, Jeff? You would think if there was a relationship where it would be the easiest to do good towards someone who isn't doing good toward you, it ought to be in marriage.
Sure.
The harder would be your next door neighbor that's a punk all the time and mistreats you.
Right.
That would be the harder guy to do good to. What about this person that I stood before God and said, you for the rest of my life.
Right.
You're the one that I love.
Right.
And you would think it would be easier to do it that way. And yet, what is killing a lot of marriages, I think, is people's unwillingness to do this. It's like, if you're not going to treat me right, I'm not going to do my part.
Right.
And then we swirl the drain.
That's right. Because I can show you where you're doing wrong. My wrong doesn't count.
So the point is, I do good toward my spouse.
Regardless.
Because I have this relationship with Jesus. By the way, let's throw in the Matt Basford Bulletin article, right?
Yeah.
One more opportunity to plug that.
Read that. It was sent out digitally, I think, yesterday by the elders.
Yeah, did a great job of making the point that we are disciples, and every rule that governs a disciple governs this relationship. And so I have a relationship this way with Jesus,
right?
Which means I am the person in my marriage I ought to be,
right?
If my spouse is completely uncooperative, just like with my neighbor, I behave well,
right,
and treat him right because of this relationship, whether this guy is treating me fair, right, or not. So good works, when it's really hard,
that's right,
to practice good works. But since we're working in 1 Peter 3 this week, since you're reading through this, think especially about the application of marriage. Think about this question. Do I ever resist doing what I ought to do in my marriage because I feel like my partner's doing their thing? And what does this principle say about this? Think about the need for good works in marriage as you read this week.